turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 4 for just an introductory word for our sermon today. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day today, huh? And you read this sign here, friend of God. That was the men's seminar yesterday, Friday night, and yesterday with our guests. And the theme was on being a friend of God. And Abraham was a friend of God. So that was a good weekend that we had. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4, right? Okay, turn there to verse 18. Proverbs 4, 18. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines. This is the ESV. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter unto full day. All right, so, Lord, we pray for our meeting today, this day, the whole day. And every believer here, we have your Holy Spirit in our lives, and the light that we walk in has real value to us. And things get better, brighter, better, more clear as we mature. Yes, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to Job 42 for an illustration of that, as Job suffered a lot. And I was today thinking about people that suffer. So Job 42 and verse 10. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before and ate bread with him in his house. And they showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And each of them gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold. So we all, I think, we know about the story of Job and how hard it was and how much suffering he had. He had real suffering in his heart, in his external situation with a lot of death in his family. I mean, a lot of death, a lot of sadness, a lot of pain that Job had. And sometimes we wonder why. If we make a little diagram here, it's real simple. I have some light, and it gets brighter. The light gets brighter and brighter under the perfect day. So how much light do you have today? How much light do we have in our lives today? Isn't that a... how much do you need? How much light do we need in life? Isn't that a good question? How much light do we need? We don't need a lot. You just have to decide if you're going to walk in it or not. We don't. A match will work in a dark room. I mean, small amount across the lake. There's a light on across the lake, 4 miles away. I can see it. I don't need a lot. I just need some. I need some light in my life. And if we walk in that light, then it does get brighter. It does. How about it? Does it? It does. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Ask Job. It doesn't mean that he didn't suffer. It just means that he had to make decisions in his suffering. He had to decide in his suffering if he could trust God. If he could keep going in his faith. If God had something down the road. If there was comfort down the road. If there was some solution or maybe changing things. Maybe not. Maybe the things don't change, but the light gets brighter and brighter. Maybe I have in my second marriage, again, the same problem. In my second marriage, I thought the second one would be better. Somebody could say, of course. The next job could be better. The next year could be better. The next decade could be better. The next child could be better. Job could be better, but I don't know that. But I know this, that the light shines brighter and brighter under the perfect day, and that our place is to walk in that light. Look at Psalm 36:9. Is it? Yeah, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. What does that mean? In your light, God's light, watch. Yeah, across the lake in nighttime, it's dark. That somebody has a candle in a room across the lake in a cabin. And I can go toward that. And in that light, I get more light. It gets brighter. Right? Simple. If God says one word and I walk in that word, even years later, I'm just walking in that word, then I'm going to get more word. He's going to give me more word. Jesus said it in Mark 4. He that hears will hear, more will be given. He that hears, more is given. Huh? So why am I saying this? Well, I'm some way because as a pastor, I hear sad stories about our brothers and sisters that suffer. And I wonder in my own life, if I could suffer well, I wonder in my own life if I could handle what they handle. And I don't think so. Let me show you one last little picture here. Here's me. And to be honest, I have an inflated view of myself. Okay? This is who I am. Who are you? Oh, I am like Hercules. You know, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I could quote many Bible verses and have also an inflated view of myself. I can kill Goliath. I can overcome the enemy. I can defeat sin. I have all the things underneath my feet. I am more than a conqueror. All that is true. But who is really the one who has all that? Yeah, it's God with the back. God. Okay. Here it is. I am still a sinner. This is me. I am still undone. I am unable. That's okay. That's okay. I can't do it. That's okay. Do you hear me? That's important. I am not able. I am not able. I am a sinner. I could leave God in a heartbeat. I don't love God. Do you love God? I don't love God. I don't love God. It says in Joshua 24, is it 19, I think. This is one example of a verse that I read in Bible college 50 years ago, and I have it in my mind. You cannot serve God. That's what it says. You cannot serve God. And I go, yeah, amen. I don't think I can. I don't think I can. I don't. I can for weeks and months, maybe some years, but I can't. But now it's been more than 50 years. But how? How does it happen? Right? I think you know the answer. If we walk in the light, and what is that? It's that you cannot. I cannot. Let me say it another way. I hope this is edifying. Anyway, it's real. Anyway, there's two people in the Bible. One said, I can. Do you remember who it was? Peter. I can follow you. I can die with you. I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I can. That's Peter. Another one said, I can't. Who is that? Gideon. I can't. And what's the answer? Peter, you can't. You say you can, but you can't. But when you get older, another one will stretch out. You will stretch out your hands. Another one will carry you. You will die for me. You will die for me. And he did. And what's my point? I think you know what I'm trying to say. By God's grace, by the light of grace, the gospel of Christ, by the Spirit of God, if you and I get through our suffering and walk in faith is because we have walked in that light. And he gave us more light. And at the end of Job's trial, God gave him more light. And he could say, he said a lot of times in Job chapter 29, all the great things that he did. Because he was like this one, like this picture here. He's like saying, I am pretty important. I'm pretty good. I've done so many good things. I'm pretty good. And then God put him through a trial. And he said, basically, I surrender. I surrender. And the Lord carried him and brought him to that place for our sake so we could read the story and say, I overcame by the grace of God. I could live a whole victorious life at the end of my life, mess up. Yeah, I know I can mess up because I knew that long ago. Because I knew it wasn't about me being strong. It was about God being strong, for I am weak. And I can glory in my weakness even. I can say these things this morning and glory in the fact that I am unable, we are unable, we are undone, we are not able to live this life the way God has told us to. But there's a new covenant. There's a new way. He has put it in our heart. And now we have the love of God in our heart. But it is, I am crucified, but I live, yet not I. But Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So I have two identities here. This is actually me, and this is actually who Jesus is in us. And by the way, if Jesus in us wants to hang on a cross in our lives, he can. And if it looks very bad, that's all right, because that's Jesus there. And he's going to die in faith. but he's going to be very able. He's going to magnify God, and God will be manifested as Jesus hangs on a cross and looks really bad. And if your life is like your life and my life is like that, that's okay, as long as we can walk in the light and we'll have fellowship with him, and the light of the righteous shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Okay, so that's it. All right, do you want to turn to your neighbor for a minute and just say to them, what did he just say? I have no idea what he's talking about. Would you talk about it for a minute with each other? A few months ago, thank you, Rachel. That was so good, sweet boy. What can fill the hunger, right? Nothing, huh? But God alone. Beautiful. A few months ago, we started on 1 John. I think it was last, maybe November, and I want to pick up on that, and perhaps we will be doing that. You never know with us. It does change, and we actually, I like to think we go through the whole Bible in a period of time, I don't know, 10 years. In any case, you learn the bones of the Bible. You learn the doctrines that'll keep your life, and also a word in season, a rhema. I think you know the meaning of that word, rhema. It's a Greek word. Let's just say we have the logos, the thought word. We have the rhema. These are Greek words. Rhema is the word from the mouth, a living word, rhema. And so I think of when I read my Bible, I have a lot of words, the logos, and Jesus is the logos. So I read, but there is something that may the Spirit bring a word, a living word off the page to my heart and to my spirit. And this is how man must live. Rachel just sang about it, that I have a hungry soul. And no one can actually fulfill that hunger in the world. Nothing created. It's another principle that I think you should know. You have the world, and then you have, this is the creation, and then you have the creator. So which one do you worship, creator or creation? So man is made for worship, and he is drawn to worship the creation, and this is where he lives, the creation. But we are told by God that they have no other gods before you, but God. But well, where are you? Where can I see? You can't see me. I'm invisible. Well, what are you? I go to the woods and I go to the forest and I want to know your thoughts. And he said, the woods will not tell you my thoughts, only that I'm very powerful and I'm very intelligent. But that's all. You can't find me as you need to know me as a person without my word. My word. This is the great phenomenon of the universe is the word of God. God is a talking God, a speaking God. God is a God that knows us, made us in his image so we can hear him and worship him. So we have the creator. This is where we really live and grow in his light. For Jesus said, I am the light of the world. God, not the creation. The creation has light and shadows and darkness, but the light of God, you could maybe say it this way, the light is like a beam, like straight light, like as we know it in physics, we have physical light. But spiritual light is similar, they are similar. Romans chapter 1, the created things of the universe are speaking of the uncreated reality of God. We know about the spiritual world by looking at the physical world. And this light is God's light. It doesn't. So here me, I'm walking, and where am I going? I'm going like this. You know, this is how we live. You know, and we find him, we hear from him, and in our life, and we walk in that light. And as you know, the light is like, it not only like the beam of it, but we also have the effect of that light, and we are now walking in the light. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. We'll start from verse 1 and go down to verse, 17, but down to verse 14. Down to verse 14, chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, in chapter 1, we read about sinning and that we do sin, but we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just in chapter 1, verse 9, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So would you get used to the idea of understanding that you are a sinner and that you sin? Okay? Like, that's important. I have sinned. I am proud. I am arrogant. I find myself, like I catch myself with my attitude, words that I say, things that we do. So we sin. But what do you do with your sin? You can live in it, but it's not a blessing. It's not a blessing to live in our sin. It's a blessing to confess it. And then immediately we are forgiven. Now my identity is not my sin. My identity is the light or the life of Christ. Mm-hmm. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1 says, these things are written that we would not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So here he is, the one on your side. He's an advocate. He is like an attorney on your side. He is behind, he intercedes for us. He's our supporter. He's the one that will defend us. We are the one that has failed, but he's the one that comes before the Father. It's like a courtroom picture. The word advocate does have that meaning, being in the courtroom of God. And God has found us guilty of our sin. But we have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody on our side who, with his own blood, verse 2, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So propitiation means like satisfying. It was used in paganism where the blood of an animal could satisfy the wrath of a pagan god. Propitiation. But it's also used in our Bible for the same idea, that God is a righteous God and we have sinned and there must be a payment. And that payment is the blood of Christ. And because of the blood, we go free. And so God, Jesus, is saying to the Father, here is my blood, that this person is free. They are not condemned. They are not judged. I give them grace. You give them grace. The Father says, I give them grace. They can go free. They do not pay for their sin. The blood is the payment for our sin. Amen. Amen. And not only for us, but for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have, verse 3, we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. This is another beautiful point, isn't it? We have come to know him. This is the Holy Spirit in you that gives you a witness in your spirit that you are a child of God. You are saying, Abba, Father, in the Spirit. You are knowing God. Knowing God is Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Knowing God, wow, what an honor that is that we would know him. So here we have keeping his commandments. Why would you keep his commandments? Because they are in the new covenant written in your heart, Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34. I will make a new covenant with my people. They will actually know me. I will put my law in their heart. Yeah, this is the reality of God's heart and mind is put into us. We have the same heart about things. It's written in our hearts. So when we read the law of Moses, it's in our hearts. And there are laws there that you can read and enjoy them and agree with God on these laws. And then when Jesus comes in the Gospels and he says, love one another, we say, yeah, that's in our hearts. It's written on our hearts to respect each other. It's written on our hearts to pray for each other. It's written in our hearts to love each other. This is because we know him. We have the same mind, same heart, same spirit. We're in fellowship. We're walking in the light. Next verse, 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So we've all met people, maybe ourselves, we've done the same. I know him, but then I'm sleeping with the girls on every weekend. What? Like, what's in your heart? That you don't want to be pure? You don't want to live by faith? You don't want to be a worshiper of God? Yeah, I'm a worshiper of God. I listen to Christian music. Like, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you know him? Yeah, I know him. I know him. Are you sure? Jump down to a verse there about being a child. I want to draw your attention to it here in verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. So we have children, we have three categories, children, then we have fathers. Let's read that part. Verse 13, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. That's the category. We're going to talk about these in a minute. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you, children. He repeats it again. Basically, this very similar text. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Children, fathers, and young men. Now, you can do some work on this and think about this, but here's a couple thoughts. Children, what is it about children? You can trick them. Children, what are children? They're innocent. Are they knowledgeable? Not really. They know only a few things. Like they know who their mother is. You know, I was at a fair as a little boy in Syracuse, New York, with my family at a county, a state fair, and I'm holding on the pant leg of a guy that's not my dad. And I was lost. My family moved on, and I'm just holding on to somebody's pant leg. And I thought it was my dad. And then I look up, and I go, oh, not good, not good. I wish I had the sense to say not good. I just started screaming and crying. Children, what about children? They can be deceived, right? I don't know how many children are in the room here, and I don't want to pop anybody's bubble, but my family, we believed in Santa Claus big time when I grew up. I was 17 years old. I was 17 when somebody confided in me. Yeah, I mean, I loved it. Even that, no. I just would deny it. I didn't want to hear that. I love Santa Claus. Okay. You know, children, what else about children? We love them, but they don't know a lot. They don't know how to make judgments. They don't know when something is dangerous. They might know when an older person is lying to them. They might insist on something because they heard it. It's a fairy tale. They might insist on something. Children, what's the word there? Children, your sins are forgiven you. Okay. You know the Father. But the light that a child has is, in a way, very little. Yeah, and the text here is that there are people that say, I know him, but they don't have the new life. They don't know what they don't realize that they are wrong or deceived, or that they are very immature, or that they need help. For a child needs to become a young man. And that though the sequence in the list isn't that way, it goes from children to fathers. So if you look up on the screen, we have the children, their sins are forgiven. Fathers, what is it they say about fathers? You have known him from the beginning. Now this is a thought. Fathers zoom out and they see the big thing. And it's not so much that, it's not so much the emotion and the particular battle, but it's more like, I know who God is and I know that we win. And I know that there's a better day coming. And I know where this is all going. It's kind of like Job in the story. You could say at the end of his trial, you could say really he is a father because he knows God. Not, you know, in the little things, the way he walked wasn't the prettiest thing. And everything he said wasn't the best. But eventually he got it done. God was with him and he knew God. And he said that at the end of his trial. And I want to say that to all of us, that you are a child now and you could be misled. But stay in the game. Walk in the light that God gives you. And that light will get better and better, brighter and brighter. You will do well. You will be fine. You will handle it. It'll be okay. Yeah, it might not always be the greatest, but the Lord is with us and he has something for us in it. He's good at it. God is good at what he's doing. God is good at leading us and carrying us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's good at restoring us when we fail. He's a good advocate when we sin. He's good at it. He's saying, Father, this guy, you know him, he doesn't have a clue. I mean, he's holding onto the wrong pant leg. I mean, he's a child. I mean, I know who you are. Jesus is saying, I did it. I got him covered. And we're good to go because this is the nature of God. The greatest thing for a Christian is to learn about the nature of God and become a father when you know who he is. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. His grace is sufficient. When we stumble and fall, underneath are his everlasting arms. He will carry us all the way. He's very good at it. So, don't worry about it. Okay? Nene. Okay. All right. The third one is young men. And this is also where we need to realize that we really are in a battle. Young men like a fight. I don't know if you know that. They do. Naturally. We have it in us. Just like we play with little trucks and G.I. Joe soldiers used to be. Yeah, G.I. Joes and ropes and guns and knives. You know, how many knives can I get, you know? And we like a fight. Get in a fight, a fist fight. Be in sports, be very competitive. I have a couple sons, and man, they are competitive. They want to win, and they want to bury you and rip your arms off. young men, but it applies to the ladies who are the greatest fighters of all. I mean, they quietly do it. They're very feminine, but they're like a tank rolling through. They're moving. Okay, amen. All right, we are all called to be in this world in a fight. And you might say, I want the spa. And Jesus said, I'm giving you a battlefield. And you know, I want lemonade. He goes, here's the poison. Okay, here, you know, I want it easy and comfortable. And God says, okay, I'll give that to you, but walk in the light. I'm going to take care of you, and you're going to go through some things because life is like that. But I'm a gracious God, and I give you a way of escape. And follow me in it. Okay, go. I want to finish up here. Not that I'm in a hurry, but I'm sensitive about time. But we can do this. Chapter 2. Verse 4, whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments, we could say he is not loving, he is not free, he is carnal, he is a liar, the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. Now there's a whole teaching, I should back up and just say this is for believers. This is for believers. This is a discipleship chapter. And when it says the truth is not in him, it is in that it's not operating in him. The truth is not operating in him. He's kind of stepped aside. He's not in the light. The truth, he's not walking in the reality that he has. He is living in excuses. He's complaining a lot. He's tired about a lot of things. He's frozen. He's looking for security and safety. But the believer walks in the light, and safety is not the primary thing. I'm not wanting to live a safe life. I'm wanting to walk in the light. I don't know how to, let's say, if walking in the light means I got to go across that narrow bridge, then I'm going to do it. Because that's what it means. If walking in the light means I got to say no to my girlfriend, then that's what I have to do. That's what I'm going to do. If walking in the light means I got to be honest at work,
then that's what I'm going to do. We have the Spirit of God. We have to do the right thing as God leads us, walking in the light. So it's not what I say with my words, it's how I live my life. Am I walking with God in my life? And if I am not, then I'm not operating in that. Verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. It's like perfected means that it makes like a cycle. It goes out and it comes back. Love goes out and it comes back. You know, love of God is perfected. Like you're living in love and it also has an effect on you. Like three people living in love and the love is in the fellowship with the three people. And it's evident, it's perfected, it's manifested, it's seen to be love. It's like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a fellowship, a triad of love and fellowship. Verse 5, but by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And I think that's a message in itself. How did he walk? Just a couple words. He was free. Jesus was free. Like, he was free. He wasn't afraid. He didn't have to have security. He could run a risk. Because love is like that. Love takes risks. Love loves people that don't love it. You don't love me? That's okay. I love you. You're out there, you're free. You're free to love. You're free to forgive. You're free to believe. You're free. Like I met somebody who was afraid of getting married, and through the years, you know, this comes up sometimes. I'm afraid, I don't want to take the risk. I'm afraid of what it means. I'm afraid of the commitment. I'm afraid of the responsibility. I'm afraid of where I would end up. I'm afraid it'll be a mistake. I'm afraid of this. And we understand that. Maybe that's a good, hey, any amens out there? Amen. I wish I had taken, no. All right, no, hey, that makes sense. I'm not saying everybody, but I am saying there's something about love that takes risk. And it's Proverbs, it's another message, but it's Proverbs 14:4. And just to say it this way, God made us. Wow, what a mistake. Man, he made us, he gave us free will. He took a risk. He paid the price. It was not pretty. Cemeteries all over the place, emergency rooms everywhere, police stations everywhere, tyrants in every other country. What a mess the human race is. He take a risk. He came here for us to save us. Love. Why? If we walk like he walked, we would have not a hunger for security, we have a hunger for freedom. Not political freedom, thank God for that, and we have it, but spiritual freedom. You are who you are. You don't apologize. You're not afraid of people. You're not afraid of insecure situation. You're learning to live in love and be aggressive in love, in a good way, in a polite and kind way, but to be in the fight, in life. When we walk with him, we walk, live as he walked in that verse. Therefore, this verse 7, behold, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard, and I would say that that is the word love. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you. The love in the old commandment to love is now in our message, but it's not old. It's old, but it's renewed. It's new in another way. We don't get it by law. We never could. We get it by faith. And that's the message of the gospel. It's the new commandment. It is the old one. It is to love. And he said, I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. That's where you are living, in the true light that is shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. He's been misled or deceived in his own heart. But whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. If somehow he just goes on in that light, then God is upholding him. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let me just say a couple of short things. Somebody comes into the church and they're jealous. They come into the church and they are depressed. They come into the church and they sit here. And they are with us, and we're so very thankful. All of us, we all need it. We all understand people, and they can't get over it. They can't. They haven't found what it is to live in the Spirit. They're judging people all the time. Who's driving the nicest car? Where's the nicest car in the parking lot? How can they afford the car? But in our parking lot, you don't have to worry about it. But okay, so why are they wearing a silk tie and not a cotton tie? How can that be? Look at the jewelry on that person. Many, many ideas. These are maybe silly, but they're all kinds of expressions. And God is saying, no, we are walking in love, and that love for a child, let's see, that love, children, your sins are forgiven. Fathers, you have zoomed out, you see the big thing, and you know God. You know God is faithful. And young men, you're in the battle. And that's how we are in our church. Some are children, some are fathers, some are young men. That's how it is in a fellowship. But we all walk in the light, and that light will bring us out in a good place all the time. Amen.